we'll turn to Genesis chapter 12 and just read some verses from Genesis chapter 12. We've been hearing from Adam, from David on Wednesday, and the responsibilities that Adam had. And we've just heard about Noah walking with God. Both these two men lived before the flood. And then after the flood, we have Abraham. And so we'll just put the time at our disposal. We'll see how we go and see what we can learn about the life of Abraham. Genesis chapter 12 and reading from verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house into a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. And Lot went with him, and Abraham was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abraham took Sarai his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran, and they went forth to go into the land of Canaan. And into the land of Canaan they came. And Abraham passed through the land unto the place of Shechem, unto the place of Moreh, and the Canaanite was in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abraham and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. And he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel, and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west, and Haran on the east, and there he builded an altar unto the Lord, and called upon the name of the Lord. May the Lord just add his blessing to his words. Now Abraham was born in the land of Ur. Born in Ur of the Chaldees. Many excavations tell us that this land of Ur, this country, was a very developed place. It was, well, you could say that Abraham was virtually living in Sydney. They found that they had very many modern buildings. They had very fine architecture. And they even had libraries. And so that Abraham was someone who was very learned. And we find that Abraham, though, in this very learned place, there was a, well, they were idolaters. Abraham was raised in an environment where idolatry was practiced. And Joshua, when he addressed the 12 tribes of Israel, he said unto the people, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old times, even Terah, the father of Abraham, the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. And so though this place of Ur of the Chaldees was a very, very developed place, we find that just like in our city today, there is idolatry. And there are many things today that go on in our cities that would displease God, even as in the days of Abraham. Abraham means exalted father. That's the short version, Abram. Abraham means the father of a multitude. But Abraham was also given a special title, the friend of God. Isn't it wonderful that here was a man, we find that Noah, he walked with God. But here was Abraham, he was called the friend of God. in 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 7, it says, "Art thou not our God who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gavest it to thy seed, the seed of Abraham, thy friend forever?" Isaiah 41 verse 8 says, "But thou Israel, my servant Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend." James 2 and 23 says, "And the scriptures was fulfilled, which said, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God." Isn't it wonderful? You know, when you walk up to your friends and you're introduced to your friends and they introduce you to their friends, and I think it's quite a good experience, isn't it, when somebody sort of comes up and puts their arm around and says, "Oh, this is my friend," and it gives you a great feeling, doesn't it, that someone considers you as their friend. Here we find that Abraham, he was called the friend of God. And of course, as you study the life of Abraham, and you know, in researching for this particular topic today, I must say that I've looked over quite a few articles, and I thank Mr. Woodlands for giving me some of those. Looked over quite a few articles, and just to read a bit more and more about Abraham. And I'll tell you something, that we would be here for the whole afternoon and the evening, and if you really want to listen, we could talk so much about Abraham and learn so many lessons from this man of God. But if we just learn one or two lessons this afternoon, and I tell you something too, that I recommend to you a tape that our brother gave me, by our brother Ernest T.E. Wilson, about Abraham. And I think that if you listen to that tape, the Lord will really bless you, and you'll see what the life of Abraham was about. But isn't it wonderful that Abraham was called the friend of God? But you know something, dear friends? It's more wonderful too today, coming right into our very, very little circle here this afternoon, that the Lord Jesus Christ calls you and me his friend. In Matthew chapter 15 and verse 15, he says, "Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you." Now there's a few verses that we could read just before that, but we haven't got the time. But so wonderful for you and I this afternoon to know that just as Abraham was called the friend of God, so the Lord Jesus Christ regards you and I, because of our faith and trust in him, his friends. And he says, "All things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you." You know, sometimes you go about in your daily lives, and whether it's in the office or wherever it might be, in business or wherever, and people have certain things to say. You always find that sometimes you don't get the whole story. You don't get the whole picture. Maybe some information has not been passed down the line, or you have not heard certain things. But the Lord Jesus Christ says to you and I this afternoon, "All things that the Father has told me, I have made known unto you." And so you see, dear friends, this afternoon we have a wonderful God. We have a wonderful friend. The friend of Abraham is our friend too. Abraham's characteristics. Now I read through all these little write-ups about Abraham, etc., etc. And when I'd run through them all, I put them aside and I read through this Genesis chapter 12 and said to the Lord, well, just lay something on my heart for myself, and that I would perhaps be able to, through his help, be of some help, not only to myself as I studied these passages, but to each and every one of us here this afternoon. Most of us, as far as Abraham's characteristics are concerned, we would say that Abraham was characterized by faith, and he was characterized by obedience. But there is also another character that he was characterized by, and that is the fact that Abraham, he built altars. And what does it mean when one builds an altar? In the first passage that we read here today, in verses 7 and 8, twice there we read that Abraham built an altar. And what is it that he did when he built an altar? He gave thanks to God. Isn't that wonderful to know that here he always, Abraham, always remembered to give thanks to God? And you know something, dear friends? If we can always remember, I remember when I was a young believer, and this is something that we should always cherish. Our brother Kim mentioned the fact about learning from others, learning from older ones. And I can always remember as a young believer that the brethren would come up and say, whenever you've given a message, whenever you've given your testimony, they would give some word of advice. They would perhaps tell you where you, you know, whether you went a bit too long, or whether you maybe said something, and they would guide you. And that was always appreciated, that word from the elder brethren. And brother or sister, even today, if the Lord lays it on someone's heart to pass a word of encouragement on to you, perhaps even in what you are involved in, take it as learning from the Lord. And one of the things that I also learned was that a brother always said, whenever you pray, give praise and thanks to God. Thank him for his great love. Thank him for who he is, and thank him for what he has done. Now Abraham, he always gave thanks to God. When Abraham arrived in Canaan, we read in chapter 12 and verse 7, as I mentioned, and there builded he an altar unto the Lord, who appeared unto him. And when he pitched his tent again, he called upon the name of the Lord. Then there was a time, as we read through Abraham's life, that he had to separate from Saul. And in Genesis chapter 13 and verse 18, then Abraham removed his tent and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre. Now Abraham had to take, well, he gave Lot the choice, and he chose the plains of Jordan. And Abraham took the so-called barren part of the land. But it says here that Abraham dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and he built an altar unto the Lord. And I think somewhere there in that message of Andrew's this morning, even he mentioned the fact of giving thanks to God for our situations that we find ourselves in. Abraham, he gave thanks to God always. In Psalm 106 verse 1 it says, the psalmist exhorts us, praise ye the Lord. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Now this was Abraham. This was one of the characteristics of Abraham. And you know, if we just take that one characteristic away with us, to remember, to give thanks to the Lord. You know, sometimes we take things for granted, don't we? And the Lord showers many things upon us. He blesses us in many, many ways. And we often forget to give thanks unto Him. Let us learn from Abraham this afternoon that no matter what the circumstances were, whenever he had the opportunity, he built an altar and he gave thanks unto God. Now, there was one altar that Abraham built which was very hard, but we'll come to that later. And so as I looked over this chapter and I formed in my mind, well, what was it about Abraham? And I tried to hang some titles on there, and the first one I had was Abram's call, his call. Abraham received a threefold command from God: get thee out of thy country, thy kindred, and thy father's house. Now sometimes we can sometimes read things, you know, a little bit harshly too, and we would say, oh, that was pretty tough on Abraham, wasn't it? Abraham, get thee out of thy country, out of thy kindred, and thy father's house. But I'm sure when God said that to Abraham, he said it in the most gentlest way. Abraham, get thee out of thy country, thy kindred, and thy father's house. He was to leave his country, the country of his birth, not knowing whither he went. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 8. He was leaving a modern built up city to a place in the desert. And I'm just wanting to build in just very, very quickly here, as you see this picture of Abraham having to leave the city of Ur of the Chaldees, which was an up to date modern place in that day. And Abraham had to go to a place whither he knew not what was to be had there. I can remember when leaving South Africa. Now, God didn't say to me, get thee up and leave. I decided to leave of my own accord. But what I can remember, even in those circumstances there, that there was the decision to leave the country of your birth, a place that you were familiar with, and the concerns of saying, well, how am I going to find my way around? I've got to find a job. I've got to get the kids in school. I've got to do all these things. There were those concerns. But Abram, that was what God asked him to do. To leave his kindred. And when I think, especially when I come from a family of 14, and still the only one in Australia and the rest there, I thought many times of leaving the family, brothers, sisters. And you know the occasions when they say, oh, we're going to have a farewell dinner for you or something like that. And then the thought comes, you know, we're going to leave this family. But God said to Abraham, leave thy kindred. And then he said, leave thy father's house. And when I look back, when I left South Africa, my dad had gone to be with the Lord, but my mom was still there. And that was a very hard thing to do, to leave. But you know, God was with us. And when God gave Abraham this command to go, you know, he also said to Abraham, this threefold command that God gave Abraham, he gave him a sevenfold blessing. When God gave Abraham this threefold command, he said to Abraham, Abraham, I will make thee a great nation. I will bless thee, as we read in those verses. That's two. I will make thy name great, for thou shalt be a blessing. Five, I will bless them that bless thee. Six, and curse him that curseth thee. And seven, in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And so though God gave Abraham this command to leave the earth of the Chaldees, God gave him a sevenfold blessing. And you know something, dear friend? If God calls you to something, you can be sure that there will be a blessing to follow. I can remember when God called me, when he saved me. And that night, what a relief, what a joy it was. And then to follow the Lord and to obey his word. Terah, Abraham's father, started the journey. If we read the previous chapter, he started the journey earlier. But he only got as far as a city called Haran. Didn't actually leave the country. And Abraham was there until he was 75 years old, and when God came and spoke to Abraham and said to him to leave the country, to leave his family, and to leave his father's house. You know something? The hymn writer could say, it was a grand day when I was born again. Now some of us were called. Some of us were called from families perhaps where there was just no inclination for the word of God. No desire to serve God. No desire to read his word. And God called you from out of that family. And I'm sure that as you look over your life, since God called you at the beginning, perhaps you couldn't see it. But now, I am sure that there have been many blessings come your way. The hymn writer says, count your many blessings, name them one by one. And it will surprise you what the Lord has done. God gave Abraham a threefold command, and he gave him a sevenfold blessing. Mr. Ernest Baker imagined certain questions that may have been asked by a friend of Abraham, seeing him prepare to leave. He said, Abraham, where are you going? Abraham said, I don't know. He said, Abraham, what is going to happen to you in the future? He said, I don't know. Abraham, if you don't know where you are going and what is to become of you in the future, why are you taking this unprecedented step? Why are you leaving your country? Why are you leaving your kindred? And why are you leaving your father's house? And Abraham says, I am going because God told me to go. As for my future, I leave that entirely in his hands. He has promised to bless me, and I believe him. I have nothing more to say. Isn't that wonderful? Can you imagine why Abraham was called the friend of God? Well, that was Abraham's call. We have Abraham's conduct. These were all the headings that I just came up with. Abraham's conduct. Abraham made mistakes, just like we all do. He was human. I won't go into much detail too, but I do recommend you someone that can put it across even better than I can, much better than I can. That tape of Mr. Wilson's, where he describes Abraham as being beset, firstly by his family, then by fear, then he was beset by friction, and then he was beset by frustrations. So there was many things that came into Abraham's life that disturbed him. But one mistake that Abraham never made, he never turned back. And when he set his face, when God gave him the command to go to the land of Canaan, that is where Abraham went, as we read in the scriptures here. It says that, and Abraham took Sarah his wife, and his brother Lot's, his Lot, his brother's son, and their substance, and gathered the souls that they had gotten in Haran, and they went forth unto the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. And you know what I find very sad today is when I hear of those who have professed the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and then things happen to Abraham, things happen to us all, things happened in their lives, and you know, it's as if they just turned the other way and did not continue as Abraham did, setting his eyes on the land of Canaan. Oh dear friends, today may we, as people sometimes often say, look at the big picture. Let us look at that land, the land, the home that our Lord Jesus Christ has gone to prepare for us. And no matter what comes in between, like Abraham, the faith that he had in God, the obedience that he displayed, kept his eye on that goal to reach the land that God had sent him to. Abraham's, Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2 in that session, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and he sat down at the right hand of God. Abraham's concern, his call, his conduct, his concern. And this came a little bit closer, but as I read Abraham's life, it tells me that Abraham was a very rich man. He was rich in cattle, he was rich in silver, and he was rich in gold. But Abraham never owned any properties or anything. The only land that Abraham owned was the burial place. When Sarah died, he bought that burial place for 400 shekels of silver. And in fact, the people there wanted to give it to him. They said, no, you can have it. The burial place belonged to the sons of Heth. But Abraham talked and talked until he came round to that situation where he said, here we are, there's the money. And that was the only land that he ever owned. But you know, and Abraham had a concern. As he looked out when him and Lot were at this certain place where they were about to part company, Abraham said to Lot, this is not good. Your herdsmen and my herdsmen seem to be having strife. This is not good. And this concerned Abraham. Abraham, let there not be strife between us. We be brethren. Not only was he concerned about Abraham, but he was concerned about those herdsmen as well. And we see how that Abraham gave Lot the choice to choose which of the land he wanted, so that they could separate. Psalm 133 verse 1 says, "Behold how good it is for brethren to dwell in unity." And Abraham saw that. Abraham didn't want to have problems with Lot. And you know, isn't that a lesson for you and I today? So easily we can think wrong things and be upset with one another about little things. When Abraham saw that, he had a concern. And he said to Lot, "Look, Lot, it's better that we part. You go that side, or whichever way you want to go, and I'll go the other way." But Abraham not only had a concern for the herdsmen of Lot and for Lot himself. Later on, as we look in Abraham's life, remember when Lot went to Sodom? And we find that God was very displeased about what was happening in Sodom. Abraham had a concern for the people in that city. And he came to God and he said to God, "If there were but 50 righteous people in Sodom, won't you spare the city?" And then he came back again and said 40 and 30, right down to 10. That was how concerned Abraham was for the people in that city. And dear friends, today, should we not have a concern like Abraham did for the people round about us? Not just for Lot. You can imagine the people in Sodom. There are people around about us, you know, that need the message of the gospel. Andrew spoke of change this morning. If we were willing to serve the Lord, are we prepared to move out of our settled state, as he put it? Andrew put it, to preach the gospel as far as God's guidance. I have heard when I was much younger and seeking to know what the Lord will do, and I remember this as Andrew spoke about God's guidance. What is it that he wanted me to do? And I found that as a young Christian there in the Sunday school, it just seemed like I just seemed to want to be amongst the kids in the Sunday school. And God gave me a class in the Sunday school. And it was a work that I really loved doing. And I think it was Neil's dad, Mr. Slosh, when he ministered one evening. And he said, "You know, God will not give you anything that you would not love to do." And if you are finding something in your life, no matter what it is, Andrew spoke about general things, giving thanks. Maybe it's a visitation. Maybe it's something that you might not think it's important, but it's something that you enjoy doing. It may not be up here on the platform. It may be just something small. But if it's something that you love doing, maybe that's what God wants you to do. And maybe even this afternoon, I put a challenge to you. This afternoon. And I say to you this afternoon, we have a work out at Lucas Heights. You know, are you happy in your settled state? We need some young ones to come out and to help in the work at Menai. Young ones. We're getting older and perhaps our communication with the little ones is not quite up to date. And we need the younger ones to come. Maybe you're thinking, "Oh well, you know, it's a distance to travel. How am I going to find transport?" Well, you know, if God has laid something like that on your heart and it's a work that you like to do, well, pray about it. Maybe that's what God wants you to do. Abraham, he had a challenge. A great challenge Abraham had. "Abraham, take now thine only son, Isaac." Abraham was to build another altar. This one was not to give thanks to God. This one was to offer his son Isaac on the altar. as a living sacrifice. But praise God, Abraham, he was faithful. He was obedient in every way. And here when God tested Abraham in the special way, Abraham obeyed. He didn't ask any questions. Isaac went up with his dad and says, "Dad, here's the wood. Here's the fire. But where is the offering?" "Son, God will provide himself a lamb." And there Abraham went, and he was about to slay Isaac. And God said, "Yes, there is Abraham." Can you imagine why God called him his friend? Abraham, the friend of God? He says, "Abraham, lay not thy hand upon thy son. For now I know that thou fearest God." Isn't that wonderful? And there, probably a relief for Abraham. But you know, Abraham went to the bitter end. Maybe there's a challenge for you and me to do God's work. Andrew said this morning there's no retirement, so I've got to think of other challenges perhaps, or still further challenges, whatever it might be. And it may cost us something, but are we prepared to leave our settled state and to go that extra mile and to be of service for the Lord Jesus Christ? There's lots of things to learn about Abraham. And as I have read over all these things, you know, I thought, oh boy, when I listened to this tape of Mr. Wilson's about the dust of the earth and all these things, I thought, oh. And I recommend you to really read that. I can tell you half of the things, quarter of the things that he mentions, and perhaps in other write-ups too. This was just some of my thoughts here as I asked God for a message today that would affect, not only give the characteristics of Abraham, but something that would affect our lives as well. You know something? I will close with this. In chapter 15 and verse 1, this is what God said to Abraham. "After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abraham, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward." Isn't that wonderful? What sort of a reward more can you ask than that? "Fear not, Abraham, for I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward." Oh, if it's just a little bit of Abraham's life that we can have in us, what a blessing we can be for God. May the Lord just bless those remarks for us.